So on the morning of the last day of the conference, it's so delightful to actually see so many bright faces and smiles and such enthusiasm. So without further ado, we would like to actually start on our report here on integrating the social determinants of health in the medical school curriculum. So for the past 3 days now, we have learned, listened, reviewed this message of the social determinants of health, which are the conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age, and are shaped by the distribution of money, resources, as well as power, and are responsible for health inequities, which according to Sir Michael Marmot are unavoidable, unfair, and also immoral. But in a healthcare system such as ours, which is largely built on prevention, where do doctors fit in? How can they contribute? How are they trained to contribute on delivery and acting on the message of the social determinants of health? Is it time for a prescription for change? So we thought that we would like to look more into how the United Kingdom actually does it. Why? Primarily because most of the landmark studies of social determinants of health have been conducted in the United Kingdom, primarily by Sir Michael Marmot, in particular his Whitehall studies. So we thought we would like to look into what the regulatory as well as the professional association boards are saying in terms of the education of their future physicians. One in particular is that coming from the Royal College of Physicians, which is now saying that there is actually a need for them as an association to both encourage and support action in the social determinants of health. And they are talking here to their colleagues, physicians, and that they need to promote health and also the social determinants rather than exclusively concentrating on treating individual patients. And then, of course, the regulatory board in the United Kingdom was saying that for them, a successful graduate is actually characterized by someone who could apply social science principles to medical practice and how that actually relates to health inequities. And so for our outline here, in terms of our presentation, we would like to go through through these three questions here. How aware are medical students in the United Kingdom of the role of social determinants? What do they perceive to be the value of integrating social determinants of health in the medical school curricula, and what do they see as their future role? This is very interesting, especially as we go to the implications of this in the United States.
So to do this, we created a survey that was administered online. For those of you who know, have heard of Qualtrics, we use Qualtrics software. And we contacted students through student unions, posters, we went to campus, sent out email lists, things like that, at five different schools in the UK. It was a convenient sample, and the survey was looking at those purposes that Dr. Novella just talked about. We tried to create a profile of the students. We wanted to look at their knowledge of the social determinants of health, the perceived impact, value, and roles that they believe the social determinants of health have. Just as a little bit of background, in the UK, you apply to medical school immediately from your secondary education, so you don't have to get an undergraduate degree. And the education path is similar to the US. You have some foundation years and then some years of specialty training followed by an internship or residency. It can be 10 to 15 years of training. The schools that we had participate include King's College London, Imperial College London, as well as the University of Birmingham, Holy York School of Medicine, and Bristol University. We had 193 participants complete the survey. Pretty even distribution of males and females, and most were between the ages of 20 and 24, most being British and Caucasian. We surveyed students that were there in their third, fourth, and fifth year of education, with most being in their fourth year. So to start out, some of the things that we looked at, we just asked them to identify what were the leading causes of death in the UK. They correctly noted that cardiovascular diseases are among the leading causes of death. And they noted that cancer and respiratory diseases leading causes of death, though they did get the order, or did get the incorrect order. They recognized that lifestyle choices like smoking, obesity, and unhealthy diet all contributed to these chronic diseases. And we asked them to look at, or we asked them about, you know, what government programs they thought were being effective and how the government was trying to mitigate these different lifestyle choices. So they cited several. A big one in the UK is encouraging people not to smoke. And people that have been there know that, you know, there's a heavy smoking culture in the UK. This was one of the encouraging things from the survey. We found that almost 100% of participants recognized or had discussed the social determinants of health in their classes. I'm guessing that one other person maybe was asleep during that class, or I don't know. The 5% person. Landmark discussions and conferences on the social determinants of health, they recognized or knew of those. The Rio conference in 2011, they recognized what the Ottawa Charter was, and almost half knew what the Alma-Ottawa Declaration was.
So when we asked them, what did the social determinants of health mean to you? And we based that on the classic definition of the World Health Organization, which are the conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and play, and how they are shaped by the distribution of money, power, and resources, and of course, the resulting health inequities. Now what you could see here, these individuals primarily say that they have actually discussed social determinants of health in their respective classes, and yet you have 50% who were only able to mention one of those components in a classic definition. And then we asked them, to what extent, compared to behavioral as well as genetic factors, to what extent do they believe social determinants of health actually contribute to the development of chronic diseases, infectious diseases, as well as health inequities? And overwhelmingly, in their response, they pointed to the social determinants of health as an important influence or factor to chronic diseases, infectious diseases, as well as inequities, even when compared with genetic and behavioral factors.
And one of the interesting things we noticed from this was that they, I think from our point of view, we look at the social determinants of health causing a lot of chronic diseases, but they were looking at more, you know, that infectious diseases are more responsible. So maybe they're thinking of public health initiatives like sanitation or that type of thing. We just thought that was interesting. So I'll listen to you.
And then we asked them, how much of these statements actually resonated with them? And these statements are actually RWJ, the Robert Wood Johnson Alternative Statements on Social Determinants of Health. And we asked them, if you resonate with this, to what extent would you attribute the responsibility to in terms of addressing it? And so with this statement, health is a shared responsibility. Although you already have the word shared there in that statement, they still view it as mainly an individual responsibility. And then proxy statements, either from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation or the American Association of Colleges of Medicine, as well as the Institute of Medicine, when any statements that actually contain words such as disparities, public health, integrating with primary care, and jobs, they attribute the responsibility of that largely to the government.
We asked them, we took statements, you know, from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, from the AAMC, and we just wanted to see how strongly they agreed with them. Most agreed with statements like all citizens should have the opportunity to make choices that help them live a long, healthy life, regardless of their income, education, or ethnic background. They felt that, you know, your neighborhood should not be hazardous to your health, and that the opportunity for health care starts long before you need medical care. But they didn't agree as much that health was a shared responsibility, and that to reduce healthcare costs, maybe that public health should be more effectively integrated into the healthcare system. This, to me, this was interesting. we asked them to think of their role as a future physician, and how likely they would take the following SDH factors and provide their patients with community resources to help them with these problems. And they were likely, or you know, willing to help with alcohol, drug, and tobacco abuse. They weren't as likely to refer and discuss things like their work situation, their relationships that may be causing stress or just other stress or worries. And then they did not like to discuss or refer to things like cultural practices or income and financial stability.
If we go back to that previous slide, it's actually very interesting that the more individual the factors are, the more that they are willing to talk about it, and the broader the factors are, the more that they are less willing, or perhaps are actually feeling a sense of discomfort in discussing those with their patients.
We also asked them, you know, what's going to stop you from discussing the social determinants of health with your patients? You know, a majority, or almost all of our respondents knew what the social determinants of health were, but what was going to keep you from actually integrating this into your future medical practice? Obviously, not surprisingly, the thing they cited most was time, just the time they're spending with each patient, and how effective is it, you know, to talk about the social determinants of health versus the acute medical condition they came in with. They're also, a third of them were worried about the reaction of the patients, what the patients would think if they started talking about the social determinants of health. A lesser amount admitted that they didn't understand the social determinants of health well enough to discuss them with their patients. They were worried the patients would be embarrassed, or that they would be looked at as patronizing their patients discussing these type of things. A smaller amount didn't believe the social determinants of health were applicable, and then a very small amount said that nothing would prevent them from discussing the social determinants of health with their patients. Just some of the responses that we got. I liked this first one. The person said, ideally nothing, but realistically time pressures, desire of the patient to engage in that sort of discussion, and the relevance of doing so. And then again, they were just worried about the defensive attitudes that patients may have, and just the uncomfortable situation it might be to discuss these different factors.
So we asked them, as a future physician, how do you think medical practice could be redirected towards a greater focus on prevention and also in addressing the social determinants of health? Actually, they have a range of responses, but most of them actually still point to the government as one bearing the major responsibility, and that therefore public health education, public health campaigns and interventions, including media screening programs, are things that they believe are actually important. And in fact, some of them have mentioned this, to quote, I don't think this is a job maybe for physicians, but for the government. We can make some difference on an individual patient basis, but we cannot deal with an entire population. So we can see here the attitudes now coming through with regard to the social determinants of health. And some are actually talking about public presence of doctors in the media might actually be helpful, perhaps with a sense of modeling. And then, of course, earlier intervention and good education. And this is the one that I like the best, and I thought this articulated what we have learned in the past few days, that for them as doctors, they believe in moving away from the pill for every ill. Isn't that wonderful, how it rhymes? I think educating upcoming medics and the idea that social problems are a big factor for health will solve these problems. And so here are some of our key takeaways. First of all, in terms of knowledge, future physicians in the United Kingdom correctly recognize that chronic diseases are their number one problem, that they are also the number one causes of death, and that they understand that lifestyle factors are actually important in shaping their health outcomes. And they have been taught social determinants of health either as a required course, part of a required course, or as an elective. However, it's interesting that they have varying levels of understanding on social determinants of health elements and on specific pathways by which social determinants of health can influence health outcomes. And then, if we go to the previous slide, in terms of how valuable is social determinants of health being integrated in medical school curricula, there's really no strong consensus on that. And this next slide may actually explain why. Because they were uncertain. Okay, I understand it, I acknowledge it, I accept it, I'm open to it, but how do I practice it? How do I specifically fit that in the physician-patient interaction? And so they need more information on specific strategies. They need more SDH knowledge. And many of them are saying, we need to have a system that incentivizes the use or application of social determinants of health. Or in other words, in linking patients with community resources as in a patient-centered medical home. And so we then echo the prescription for change that have already been articulated by the Royal Academy of Physicians in terms of a prescription for change. They're still quite a long ways from where the students are and where they should be, but here is a prescription for change. Change for what? Change of perspectives, meaning mental models. Change of systems, meaning having a more holistic, better integrated system that incentivizes, as well as change in education. And this one, they have emphasized firmly. We need to have health promotion. We need to have social determinants of health be embedded as a vertical thread throughout the medical school curriculum. And then, of course, the call to action. Let's keep moving forward. These may be baby steps, but we are in the right direction. And so our recommendations pretty much do echo those same key takeaways. Teach medical students to differentiate as well between social determinants of health and individual level risk factors. Better teach them on how to address social determinants of health and to create incentives for doctors. Now, where are the implications here? How many of you are aware that the MCAT, Medical College Admission Test, is actually going to change in 2015? Great. And the change is pretty much in the integration of both behavioral and social sciences in the actual questions. Because AAMC actually articulated 2 years ago, 2011, that complete education should have not only the biological sciences, but also the behavioral and social sciences. Because they believe in health as a product of interactions of various social factors in our society. And because we are now in the 21st century, we need physicians who are able to actually handle the issues in the 21st century, which are primarily chronic diseases, lifestyle factors. And so they said that we need to actually address those health disparities, having physicians much more involved, much more collaborative, more involved in policy making, having their voices heard. And so AAMC, Association of Medical Colleges here in the United States, have actually adopted this particular framework to actually show the specific pathway by which social determinants of health influence health outcomes. Because interestingly, our UK-trained future medical practitioners actually don't quite exactly know, okay, where in this pathway do social determinants of health actually fit in? How did this result in, say, a specific disease in my patient? And so the Institute of Medicine actually called for greater integration of primary care and public health so that we can achieve substantial and lasting improvements in population health. And so why do we need to integrate? Because we want to have a concerted effort that's already articulated by Sir Michael. And this was actually adopted again by the Association of Medical Colleges here in the United States, that this is a matrix by which they could show future physicians here in the United States on how they could specifically strategize in integrating social determinants of health in practice. And so what I have put down here are actually specific ways on how they could do that. And why now? All of us here in the United States are dealing with dramatic healthcare costs. Data after data are already telling us, hey, there are actually more to this than just the diseases that we see in the acute care setting. And this is now the opportune time to change the way health is approached. And so we would like to close with this, coming from a TED Talk provided by Dr. Paul Farmer as well as Dr. Machanda, where they said we need more Upstream doctors. These are those who actually have an upstream approach and do not ignore downstream problems. And lastly, that addressing the causes and consequences is the primary task of all practitioners, whether they be based in hospitals or clinics or communities. So this is now a call for Dr. Upstreams. Thank you very much.